Good morning. Greet you in Christ's name. It's good to be with you today. God is good all the time. Raise your hands, acknowledge the goodness of God. Amen. God is good. Title for today's message is Your Body Matters. And our text is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 20. I'm planning to share two messages from this same passage of Scripture. Today's message is titled, Your Body Matters. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we want to share with the title, God's Plan for Your Body. Dale A. Hayes shares the following in Leadership Magazine. On a recent trip to Haiti, I heard a Haitian pastor illustrate to his congregation the need for total commitment to Christ. His parable is interesting. A certain man went to sell his house for $2,000. Another man wanted very badly to buy it, but because he was poor, he couldn't afford the full price. After much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the original price, with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small nail protruding from just over the door. After several years, the original owner wanted the house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell it. So the first owner went out, found the carcass of a dead dog, and hung it from the nail he still owned. Soon the house became unlivable, and the family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the nail. The Haitian pastor's conclusion, if we leave the devil with even one small peg in our life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for Christ's habitation. In his letter to the Corinthian church, Paul says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I find that to be an amazing concept. I still don't grasp quite how God can put his spirit in our body. But that's what the scripture says. When I became a Christian, the day I made my decision for Christ, God took and placed his Holy Spirit within my physical body. He lives here in my body. Our bodies become a temple for God. The admonishment today in this passage of Scripture is that we take care of that body. We are responsible for that body. Each of us is responsible to discipline our bodies so that it can be a suitable temple for the Holy Spirit. The context here is that the Corinthian church thought the body was unimportant, that your physical body was not important, that it was your spirit that mattered. Long as your spirit was good, it didn't matter exactly how your body was. And they erred extremely in this area. They had sinners in the church who were involved in sexual problems. They got drunk at their communion service. They had all kinds of physical things. They said, your body doesn't matter. What you do with your body is not important. What is important is your spirit. And I'm going to beg to differ with that today because the scripture does. And I think this is going to be a really important study for each one of us. The passage is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 20. I'd invite you to turn to that in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 20. And I'd like to make a note before we read. There are quotes in there. You'll see that one in verse 12. And then again in verse 13. Those quotes, I believe, are what the Corinthians were saying. This is not Paul's writing. Paul is quoting what the Corinthians were saying and then was refuting it. So it helps us to understand this passage of Scripture if we understand that these quotes are there for a purpose. They are what the Corinthian people were saying, which was not really correct. Let's stand to read. If you can, comfortably stand with your Bibles open and follow along as I read. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 20. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. All things are lawful for me. This is in quotes. Then Paul says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. And do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You may be seated. The first broad statement I would like to make this morning is that your body matters to God. Your body matters to God, not just your spirit, not just your inner being, but your body does. And I want to reread for you verses 13 and 14 of our text. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. That begs the first question, does God care about our bodies? Does it matter to him whether we take care of them or not? Is God concerned about our bodies? And the short answer is yes, absolutely. This passage tells us that he's concerned about that. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that God is very concerned. Many of us have beefs about our bodies. Maybe I'm assuming something, but I know I've had beefs about my body. I don't really care the way I'm put together, okay? We have beefs about it. We know our physical flaws and our limitations, and as we start aging, as I am, we see the way our body is starting to let us down. We wish we were made differently. And we envy those with beautiful bodies. But God has given us the bodies that we have, and he knew what he was doing. He intended for us to honor him with what we have been given. He wants to live within our bodies in his Holy Spirit. He intended for us to take care of our bodies so that they can be a suitable temple for him to live in. Our bodies are to be instruments, not ornaments. That is a big statement, so I'm going to repeat it. Our bodies are meant to be instruments, not ornaments. The world system also tries to get us to take care of our bodies. But it's there for largely selfish reasons. They want to look good. So they take care of your body so that you can be physically fit. And maybe you can look down on other people a little bit who aren't. And that is the world's way of looking at it. But God wants our bodies to be an instrument for him, not an ornament. Instruments of worship. Instruments that bring glory to him. A temple for God. He wants to have a temple that we take care of to live in. Temples that the Holy Spirit can live in and work through. The scripture strongly teaches self-control in our eating and drinking and what we take in through our eyes and ears. The scripture strongly condemns loose living and laziness and lust. The misuse or the abuse of our bodies is strongly condemned in Scripture. Christians, and this is going to come as a surprise to you perhaps, Christians on an average are more undisciplined when it comes to food than non-Christians. Did you know that? We as Christians are less disciplined than most unbelievers are in our view of food, in the way we look at food. That's surprising. We like our food and fellowship. We belly up to the trough way too much. Somehow we believe that God is okay with that. It's not. God's not okay with that. When I go online and view pornography or read a trashy novel, God is not okay with that. I am abusing my body. It's not a suitable temple for God to live in. It's easy to point fingers at others. And I want to make this clear today that I don't want to do this, pointing fingers at others, judging others in this regard. We need to focus on ourselves and our maintenance of our own bodies, not on someone else's. We don't know the battles that others are engaged in. So we can't judge them from the outside. We want to look at ourselves and our personal responsibility for our bodies. Comparing with others is not what God intends. You're going to be more responsible after today to take care of your body. I just say that as a fact. You are. You are going to be more responsible. Because I'm hopefully raising awareness of the importance of it. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will speak to all of us to bring greater sensitivity to the care of our physical bodies. And that we can understand the things that God wants from Christians in physical discipline and restraint. I'm probably not going to make friends today by what I have to say. I'm going to step on some toes, my own included. I'm aware of that. I'm also aware that a lot of preachers don't preach on this subject because it's not popular to preach on it. Because after the service, a lot of them will go to a carry-in dinner and they get to put it in practice right there and then. And people don't like having their toes stepped on in this regard. People don't like it. It can make us uncomfortable and reactionary and defensive. But I'm depending on the Holy Spirit this morning to speak to you, and I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to stop anything that I say that shouldn't make it to this mic, that He can just stop it. But I do want to say what I need to say. Our bodies were made for the Lord. Verse 19 of our text. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Our body was designed to be the dwelling place for God in this world. Before Jesus went back to heaven, He promised to send the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. And where does the Holy Spirit live here on the earth? He lives in the bodies of believers who are temples for Him to dwell in. If you take away nothing else from today's message, please take that away. Within you, if you're a Christian, within you, the Holy Spirit is living. Is it a temple that He feels comfortable in? Or does He feel uncomfortable there? We are not to be atheists when it comes to our bodies, but we are to glorify God with our physical bodies as well as our spirits. We're not slaves of our physical body and its drives. We are servants of God. The Lord is for our bodies. He's not indifferent to our body. He cares about it. It's a matter of importance to Him. A statement in verse 13 says, "Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food." is likely a slogan used by those at Corinth who felt that the body was not important. It was only the spirit that was important. That the body was just there to process food. The sex drive they had was not part of their relationship to God. That their bodies were somehow disconnected from their spiritual life. That what was done in the body had no real moral significance, whether it was overeating or drinking or having illicit sex. The Corinthians had boasted about the incest going on in their church. They got drunk, as I mentioned, in their communion service. There was this disconnect between their view of the importance of the spirit and the importance of the body. Paul wants to do away with that disconnect. An unnamed seminary student shares the following. One of my fellow students in a seminary class was the model of fitness. He ran every day and was clearly in good shape, but it had not always been so. He told us that a few years earlier, both he and his father had been very much overweight. Between the hectic schedule of pastoring and schooling, he allowed himself to enjoy a fairly sedentary lifestyle and a regular diet of convenient fast food. One day his father had a heart attack and was hanging on to life in the critical care unit of a local hospital. My seminary friend sat by his bedside and cried and prayed. The cardiologist came in and spoke to him. He explained that his father's diet and subsequent weight gain had put a significant strain on his heart, leading to a heart attack. The cardiologist noted aloud that my seminary friend seemed to be heading down the same road. My friend responded, "Yeah, I've got an eating problem." The cardiologist responded, "No, son, you've got a sin problem." My friend explained that the cardiologist's response changed his life. He said he realized at that moment that he had been minimizing his poor stewardship of his temple for years and that he needed someone to call it just what it was, sin. "So I eat too much," you say. "Big deal, that's just my little issue. Our family has that problem. So I'm a little loose in other areas. You've got to live it up a little bit. So I don't turn my eyes away from indecently dressed women. So I look at some pornographic pictures. So I indulge in some off-color or sexually charged romance novels. So I fantasize some. Does it matter what I do with my physical body?" And I'm going to say yes. Yes, it does. Brothers and sisters, it does matter. It does matter that we take care of our physical body, whether it's taking in too much food and it's drinking, whether it's looking at bad pictures online, whether whatever your way that you're abusing your body, it does matter before God. It really does matter because our body is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. God had plans for us even before we were born, and our physical bodies are important to God. Psalm 139 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when it was yet there was none of them." So I'm going to conclude with this, that your body matters to God. God cares about your body, not just your soul and spirit, but your body also. The next topic I want to look at is body ownership. If you have your Bibles open, I encourage you to look at verses 19 and 20 of our passage that we read. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." My first statement then is we are purchased by God. God purchased us. We don't have ownership of our own body. This is not my body. As a Christian, it's not my body. This is something that it's very important for you to understand, for me to understand, is that I can do, you know, folks will say, I can do with my body what I want to do. Wrong. Not if I'm a Christian. My body doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. I am a steward of my body. It doesn't belong to me. We are purchased with a price. He paid dearly for us on the cross. Terrible price. Monumental sacrifice was accomplished on Calvary to purchase our bodies. Our bodies are bought and paid for by Christ. We don't own our own bodies. Our body becomes a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit, a temple. We need Him to be there. We can't live our life out as we should without His strength and His guidance. He is our helper and comforter and guide. Our bodies are to be a sanctuary, a functional temple for God, a place of comfort for the Holy Spirit to live and work in us, a place He can work with, a place of worship and service. Number three, we are not slaves to our physical drives. This is where it's going to hit home for me and for you. We are not to be slaves to our physical drives. We're not slaves to our physical drives. Many of us can be if we're not careful. Our natural appetite wants to own us, to be our master. We dare not let that happen. That appetite for food, that sex drive, that dare not own us. It's a battle of ownership. And that so describes our American culture today, is slaves to natural drives. You look around in the American culture today and you'll find people who are slaves to their natural drives. They just do whatever they want to because they feel like that's what they want to do, and they don't discipline themselves at all. The person not committed to God's ownership is going to have others take possession of their bodies, their natural drives, what feels good, and Satan. Our bodies belong to God. We are the stewards, not the owners. We are the caretakers of our bodies. What kind of job are we going to do as a steward taking care of our bodies? Our bodies belong to God, our eyes. And for each one of you, I'm not going to stand up here and be judgmental. For each one of you, it may be something different that is controlling you. For some of us, it's going to be our physical appetite. We struggle with that. For some of us, it's going to be our eyes. We struggle with that. For some of us, it's going to be a sex drive that is out of control, that is not brought under control of God. It's just driving us, and it's so strong, and we follow that drive, and we don't submit to the ownership of God, to the control of God. Which brings us into the next subject, and that is body control. Verse 12, all things are lawful for me. This is what the Corinthians were saying. Paul says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, they said, but I will not be dominated by anything. My question to you and to me is, who is calling the shots in your body? All things are lawful for me. That's true in the sense that I'm no longer under the law. No rules, people say. We left those behind. There's freedom in Christ. We left the rules behind. There's liberty in Christ. Paul is saying that the freedom we have in Christ must have some guidelines. Freedom that doesn't have any direction is the most miserable kind of freedom. Freedom must have some guiding principles. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatian church, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." A guideline for freedom is the awareness of things that enslave. If you're brought under the ownership of your natural drives, if they own you, guess what you are? If they own you, if your appetite owns you, if your sex drive owns you, whose slave are you? You're not following God. You are living in sin. I'd like for us now to turn to some supporting scriptures. If you have your Bibles up, I would encourage you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. And we have here the example of Esau. The example of Esau was a man that was driven by his natural drives. He was not in control of his body. His natural drives overrode what would have been good. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." Esau could not control his natural appetite, and he paid dearly for his lack of self-control. Next, if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18. Philippians 3 and verse 18. It says, "For many whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, to walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things." Then turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, and I want to read the first 8 verses. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." That Holy Spirit is to live in that body. Discipline is the key. Self-control is one of those beautiful and helpful fruit of the Spirit. I think we forget that at the end of the list of fruit of the Spirit, there is this thing of self-control. And many of us try to take care of ourselves by ourselves, and we fail miserably. You know, I'm not going to eat that big bowl of ice cream. I'm determined I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. The Holy Spirit works within us the fruit of self-control. That's what he does if we allow him to. And I've failed miserably many times in these ways. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us to work in us that beautiful self-control that he wants to. The Holy Spirit wants to work this fruit of self-control and discipline in our lives. Will we cooperate with his work in us? Will you listen as he speaks to you today? As I mentioned in the opening, I'm not going to stand up here and point fingers at anyone. The Holy Spirit has to speak to you today and has to bring to your mind what areas of your life that are undisciplined, that he wants to bring under his control. Is it the maybe in the area of food? Is it maybe that drink that you want to do, that you want to take, that you shouldn't be doing? Is it maybe in the area of, for many of us, it's going to be more in the area of watching our eyes, the discipline of our eyes, especially young men. I'm speaking to you today is, are you disciplined in what you see and what you turn away from? Where you won't go on the internet because the Holy Spirit is working this discipline in your life. God wants to work that discipline in us, that self-control. Will we submit to his working in us, even with what he wants to do with our bodies? I pray that God will work that in all of us. I want to wrap up the message then. There's just a couple of closing comments. And I do want to share much more on this subject next Sunday. God's plan for your body. What is God's plan for your body? Today, your body matters. It's not just your spirit. It's your body matters to God. It's important to God. It's important to our spiritual well-being as well. It's important to our witness to the gospel as we allow God to work this work in us. God bless you. We have a song.